tonight. We're in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Just four chapters all together, chapter 3. And Malachi is one of how many prophets that were after the exile?
Three.
And what were the names of those three?
Malachi.
Who else?
Haggai.
And Zechariah. All right. And Malachi is the one that we're talking about now. And he is the one that is in chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 as we begin chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soul. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. And then Alright, now Malachi is speaking of, who is the one that's talking in verse 1? Who is talking in verse 1?
Jehovah,
the Lord himself. Behold, I will send my messenger. Who did he send that was his messenger?
John the Baptist
was his messenger, wasn't it? Fulfillment. Now, in the Old Testament, there's not a distinctive first coming and second coming. It's blended. And so he's going to send his messenger. What's the messenger to do? If God's
saying,
prepare the way before me. Now, who's the me referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's going to be coming. Me, is it the God the Son? He's going to be coming. Did Elijah, did Moses, did John the Baptist prepare the way to the Lord Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they accept the way that he prepared?
Yeah.
Didn't accept it. Yeah, did.
Yeah. A good account of that was our Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. Remember when John the Baptist was in prison and he sent his disciples to Jesus to say, are you the one or do we look for another?
Mm-hmm.
And among other things that Jesus said, Matthew 11:10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. He's talking about John the Baptist.
Yes.
For it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
All right, that's good. So that's the way, John the Baptist was the one. This messenger, quoted from that passage, prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek. Did the Israelites seek all of them for the Lord?
Well,
stood there safe for him? And then?
In the context of Malachi, perhaps back to the captivity, maybe they were sobering in their behavior and were trying to return to their roots. Maybe some of them, it says in verse 1, the Lord whom ye seek.
Mm-hmm.
It says they're seeking him.
Yes.
And then, like you said, not all of them, but some of them were seeking him.
How about the priests of chapter 2? Were they seeking the Lord? Were they doing well for the Lord?
And the prophets
priests were wayward, weren't they? And the people, many of them, but some of them were seeking
him.
Yes, Nick.
With all of their waywardness and their disobedience and everything, weren't they still hoping for the Messiah? Weren't they still believing that the Messiah
yes,
would come?
I think that they were. If they were Orthodox Jews, that's what they should look for, that Messiah.
It says here that, whom you seek.
Mm-hmm.
Whom you seek.
Doesn't mean that they found the Lord, but at least they're seeking. See, all that seeking.
Well, that doesn't mean that they were obedient. And
that's right.
Doing what he wanted.
Exactly. But they're seeking. Now notice it says, what's going to happen to this Lord that they're preparing the way for, this Elijah? Yes, or John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist.
We will suddenly come to his temple.
All right, and
I think that's referring to his entrance into the temple and overturning the money changers.
Yes, that's
turning out the money changers and saying, give me my house for
Tennessee instead of the house of prayer. That's right. So this is a prediction, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ coming. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, send us an email to hear from you. Even the message is the covenant whom ye did light in. Well, of course, some of them did light in. Whom ye seek will be light in. We trust this is the case. Behold, he shall come. The Lord Jesus did come, and the fullness of the time, God set forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, he might redeem those that were under the law, they might receive the promise of grace and peace, as it says in Galatians chapter 4. Then in verse number 2, a question is asked. Paul Dick, go ahead.
You're going too fast.
All right, go ahead.
I wanted to note to Zacharias when Jesus was brought to his birth. Luke 1:72, and he said, Zacharias speaking about Jesus as David, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. That's what the Lord was to do, to perform.
And of course, he came in his own received him, not they didn't receive him. But then the question is asked in verse number 2, what is the question that is asked? Who do you think is asking it here? What is it, Anne? What did you say, Anne?
I'm sorry. That's small. I'm sorry. Sorry.
What's the question that's asked? Who's asking this, do you think? In verse 2.
I guess Jehovah.
It is Jehovah, may the Lord himself, who may abide in the day of his coming. Abide in what sense?
Christ on abide, mean to remain or mean to tolerate it?
Or tolerate, to be found acceptable unto him in his coming. And then, again, another question is asked. What's the second question here in verse 2?
Who shall stand when you appear?
Well, she said, now, and then, what is the appearing like in the last part of verse 2? Then?
They make the word abide. I mean, this thing, we could actually, he could mean abide or remain.
Or could say, who can stand? Who can stand, right?
Well,
who can
stand? Either one, but in the sense of this is the ultimate test. I mean, they're either, sheep or goats, so they're either going to be remaining there into the lane, or they're not going to enter the lane. Those who rejected the work of Christ on the cross, but Christ, when he comes back with the second phase of the peace of this earth, he touches down in Mount Olives.
As to this, who can abide it? Sometimes you say, I cannot abide it. She cannot abide it. He cannot abide it. It means I can't stand it. I think that's the sense of this. Who shall abide? He will stand the day of his coming. Yeah, Dick?
Now, isn't this as often in the Old Testament prophets, the first coming of Christ and the second coming are often blurred.
That's right.
This is one of those cases because in verse 1, he says, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. And he's just been talking about suddenly come to his temple.
Yes.
And I think that is referring to his first coming as Jesus
right
answered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but then right away in verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? Now, that's his second coming.
Second phase of his second coming.
On the Mount of Olives.
That's right. And that's why in verse 2, the last part, his second phase was coming, and that in first.
Is that why in Matthew, I think it's Matthew, the Israelites say, so God has fallen on us, because his glory is so great and he comes?
Could be, and also the book of Revelation, that the rocks fall upon us to hide us from him that sitteth on the throne. Yes. The last phase of verse 2, what is the going to be the conditions when he comes the second time, almost the second phase of his second coming, during the tribulation time at the end of the time coming back? What's it going to be like then, according to the last?
Refiner's
fire. What does a refiner's fire do? In a fuller soap, what does that do? Purifies and judges us. It's hot. And so who's going to abide? And then in verse 3 it says, he shall sit as a refiner, purifier of silver. Is that going to be a pleasant task for these people who receive it? What about the judgment seat of Christ? What is the picture that's given there about the judgment seat of Christ? For saved people, built upon the foundation. When he assembled, you've got an hour, he went, or full service, fresh stone, but what? The fire is going to be refining,
testing,
and seeing whether or not these things will stand the foundation. Gold, silver, and precious stones will abide the fire, but the hay, wood, and silver will be burned up.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. So, the fire, and so this is a very strong statement, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. What does it mean to purify these sons? Do they need purification? Yes, Dave?
Amen.
The Levites were purified the first time when Moses, Moses gave the instructions to the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all of that in the book of Numbers,
mm-hmm.
where the Levites had all this purification ritual that they had to go through. Now, they were purified then. Then, when after the captivity, when Nehemiah came back and built the wall, and they rededicated the wall, the Levites were purified again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Ezra came and rebuilt the temple, and they rededicated the temple, the Levites were purified again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then, this purification, I believe, is for the opening of the millennial temple, when Christ will come to rule and reign, so it will be a temple. And
so what tense of the verb is purify? What tense?
Future
shall purify. Now, how many Levitical cities were there? 48 Levitical cities. And were there Levites in every one of those cities?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were Levites. That was headquarters. And when the breakup came, the 10 tribes going to the north, 2 tribes to the south, did the Levites stay in those cities or did they flee to the south? Most of them fled to the south, the southern cities, and so the northern 10 tribes didn't have any privilege of the Levitical teaching and preaching of the Word of God. But here they will be purified. Was that Dick? I mean, Bill?
This refining, this judgment of refining, could this also mean that when we loop, our sin nature is taken away, when we are actually redeemed?
Yes, in other words, new bodies and new...
Yes.
It's possible. Certainly that's going to be refining. When our sin nature's gone, we have new bodies that's like Christ. No question about that. But here the Levites refined and purified. Just, do people like to be refined and purified? Is that a natural thing for us to want to do? People point at our sins and say, oh, we don't like that. It's bad talk. See, it's fine.
The Levites didn't get captured in Gar. They fled to the south. They didn't go up to Syria. They weren't captured.
Oh, some of them were captured at Ali. That's right. Some of them did. But when they had Jeroboam and Rehoboam, when they had that split, Jeroboam took the northern 10 tribes up in the north, the southern 2 tribes in the south. The Levites up there were very bad. You remember, there's a in the book of Judges, it's Levite and so on. We had a very bad situation.
Yeah,
they were bad people. And the reason, why did Jeroboam make 2 golden calves in the north? One at Bethel and one...
So that people would go to Jerusalem.
So the people would not go back to the Jerusalem in the south. He put 2 at Bethel, one at the north and south, 2 golden calves, so they could worship there and not go back. How many times were the Israelites supposed to go to Jerusalem? How many times in a year? 3 different seasons, that's right. They had 3 feasts in the first month, 1 in the second, part of the third month, and 3 in the seventh month. So 3 times a year. First, fifth, and third, I guess it is, and seventh month. So 50-day feast was Feast of Pentecost.
Most of the times it's been traveling.
Anna, go ahead.
Hello, Pastor and everyone. I'm so thankful to see you and join in this time of prayer and Bible study with you. I am praying for each of you. God bless you. With joy and thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus Christ, Anne Marie Doyle.
It's Wade Anne Marie, way over in Canada. Anne Marie, thank you for that. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Antoinette.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I've been praying about the toads being removed from a front yard. I don't know how
of one of her?
I was wondering if she had the toes staying left.
From where?
From the backyard. We were praying about that.
This was from Anne-Marie?
I'd be praying, Anne-Marie.
Okay, Anne-Marie, tell us where your toes removed from your backyard. Please give us a call. 856-261-9018. Toe removals, all right. So nobody likes to be referred. What's that?
Okay. You just started to say it again. You said it before. No one likes to be refined.
Do people like to be refined?
But the truth is that if you have the right attitude about our trials, then the trial of your faith is so that your fear is more precious.
And go on with the precious. But we try to find
the right attitude about our trials.
Yes.
And God can greatly bless us.
Absolutely. Trials make us stronger if we have the right attitude for them. That's right, Tammy. Absolutely. When the fire comes, it's all the purifier. But normally, a lot of people, our flesh does not like people to point out to us our sins, our wickedness, our shortcomings. Here come the toes. Are the toes okay? Yes, Anne-Marie, what about those toes? Moles? Are they moles?
Yes, moles.
Okay, thank you very much, Anne Marie. Appreciate that. Okay. Alright, so the toes are gone, now the moles have come. So we have to break the moles out of there. Alright. Refining, like a refiner guy, he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Of course, fire is the only thing that will purge gold and silver. Our money used to be gold and silver, now it's paper, unfortunately. So nothing that purges that. What is the reason for God's wanting to purify the Levites in verse number 3? What is his goal? What is the purpose?
That they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Offering in righteousness. What does that tell us about the Levites?
They were not living righteously.
They're not living righteously, not offering righteousness. In the Old Testament, many times it says, I'd rather not have your offerings if your heart isn't with me. See, that's the same way with us. God would not rather have our giving and giving unless our heart is with us. See, my son, give me thy heart, as it says in the book of Proverbs. So, that their days that they may be offering in righteousness. Let's read number 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Alright, verse 4. Then, what does the then go back to? Verse 4. Then, after the Levites are purified and offer proper sacrifice in thanksgiving, then, what's going to happen? The offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, see? When they're offering in righteousness, when they offer rightly, then it compares that present, that time of present to what other time? In verse 4. The days of old, the former years. Do you ever remember any of your days of old? The former years?
Yes.
Were some good and some bad?
Yes.
Alright. But now you see, in that case, in the former years of Israel, God says, you offered fine. It was all right. There was a time when the Israelites, north and south together, 10 tribes and 2 tribes, especially the 2 tribes, were honest, and they offered before the Lord in proper fashion. And that was wonderful, as in the former years. And then in verse 5, what does the Lord promise here? In verse 5. again, future.
Come here to you to judgment.
Come here to you to judgment. Now, what's involved with judgment? Now, there's different meanings of judgment. In this context, what would judgment be here? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. What do you think judgment means in this
context?
Judge them. So judge them, Lord. Judge them because they're not being obedient. And then, what else does God say he's going to be in verse 5? What kind of a witness?
Swift.
Yeah, Dan.
Isn't this judgment against their enemies?
Could be, but also could be against the sons of Levi that need purification, like the refiner's fire in verse 2 and refiner in verse 3. Could be the enemies. Yes. See, now, what is the difference between a witness and a swift witness? Anna?
Well, perhaps if you think of a witness and you're out in the courtroom, the lawyer asks the witness, well, what did you see? And the witness thinks about it for a few moments before they answer. The swift witness will give the answer right away.
Yes, very good. Swift witness, quickly, the witness. And what is he going to witness again? What's the word of witness again in verse 5? There's a number of people he's going to witness again. First, the sorcerers. What is a sorcerer?
Fortune tellers.
Fortune tellers, those are necromancers, those are dealing with spirits and so on. What is the Greek word for sorcery in the New Testament? Pharmacia. Pharmacy, it's the drugs. Drug dealers, see? Sorcerers. And of course, in this case, the Old Testament sorcerers, they try to get cahoots with the devil and with witches and goblins and prayers for the dead, like the witch at Endor. That's sorcery. Just pronouncing curses upon people, see? God's going to be against them. A swift judgment against sorcerers. What's the second group he's going to be?
Adulterers.
Adulterers, all right. Adulterers. Who are adulterers? Well, a lot of people, they're not faithful in their marriage, to vows, husbands and wives, and God's going to bring judgment against the adulterers. And who else is he going to judge?
False swears.
False swears. What do we mean to false swear?
It's people that took oaths.
They take an oath.
They promise.
They're going to do something and then they don't do it. They do nothing. False swears. If you lie under oath in our country, what is that called?
Perjury.
Perjury. Jury perjury means to swear an oath, and perjury means failing to swear the proper oath. Perjury. Swearing an oath, improper swearing an oath, perjury, and against the false swearers. There's a lot of false swearers in marriages, am I right?
Yes.
You agree to give this woman, this man, that till death you do part, that you be a full allegiance, and you stay together, so on? Oh yes. False swearers in marriages. Dick?
Just thinking, what was the penalty under the law for adultery?
Death. I stole it, wasn't it? Stoning by death. And what book of the New Testament, fornicators also, what book of the New Testament tells about this penalty of stoning for adultery? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And the woman taken in adultery, and thou knowest the law, what does the law say? Stone the one that adultery. So, the Lord forgave her, but... Both, the man and the woman. So the women and the man and the woman, both of them were to be stoned. So,
not today.
I thought it'd be a lot. The population would be diminished greatly. What else has God against and going to have strict judgment? Those that oppress certain people. What's the first class of people that they oppress?
All right,
oppress the hireling in his wages against those people. How would that be? Who's a hireling? What does that mean? Somebody works for somebody, some hired help, that's right. And oppress the hireling in his wages. What would that mean?
They won't be old enough.
May not pay me there enough or timely enough. Remember, in the Old Testament says, thou shalt not keep the wages of a laboring man after the sun sets. In other words, pay him day by day, day laborers. That's the Old Testament standard. And maybe that was a part of it. And so on. Day laborers. That's right. And don't withhold until the sun set upon the man's wages. And so that could be a part of it. But also hiring in his wages. And of course, some people never have enough, as far as that's concerned, to get paid. But that's it.
Pay him what he has been promised.
All right. Pay him what he's been promised. That's
where Jesus said that parable, remember?
Yes.
That the one laborer was hired in the morning and he worked all day.
Yeah.
The one was hired a couple hours before quitting time and he got same thing.
Same wages.
The thing was, it wasn't unjust because each one of them had been told
that's right,
that they would get X amount.
That's right. He kept his promise, and they were complaining about that.
Yeah.
And we don't get into unionism and so on, but I mean, lots of wages, I'll tell you. There's a lot of problem with people who are requesting wages and poor people that are hiring them. They can't pay them, and they're ready to close shop, and they're having parades and pickets and everything all over the world, different places. In England, they're kind of cut down because they don't have any money to pay the people, and so they're cutting their wages, so they rise up on the streets and protest against it. It's horrible. We're going to get it in this country. It won't be long. We got it in some states already, in some places, but against the hiring and his wages. What's the next thing it got against? It was an oppressed widow. Who is a widow? All right, someone whose husband died. Why would they be oppressing of the widow? How would they oppress the widow?
She needs lots of help.
She needs help. We have widows at our church, the different ones that we know of and so on, and they're not to oppress the widow. They're by themselves, they're alone, help them. If they're a certain age, we can take them into the church and help them in that way. If their parents, if they have children, they'll take care of them, as it says in the New Testament. Children take care of those that are widows and so on. Yes, Dick?
Does that go to widowers too?
Well, the object would be similar to it, the widower and the widowers.
Yes, I'm still
there. Yeah, doesn't say that, but especially the widower, but the widow, certainly. The principle would be there, but the widow especially.
Men are supposed to be the
workers that work for themselves, take care of themselves, but the widow. And then what's this next group? Next group that they are oppressing?
The women are going to get along.
What's the next group that they're oppressing? Who are the fathers? Orphans, little children that have no father, that have no mother, they're fatherless.
They could be children of the widows.
Yeah, they could be children of the widows.
No father.
They have a mother, could be, but no father, fatherless. Those are orphans, and of course, lots of orphans and orphanages, and taking care of them is not easy. And then what's the other thing that God is against? Another group. The last part. Turn aside the stranger from his right. What does that mean? What is a stranger, first of all?
Something you don't know. That's an Israelite.
Not from Israel, someone's not an Israelite. And God says, all right, that Israelite, but still should you have rights. If you turn aside his right, that means you don't give him what he's supposed to give him. So, yeah, Dan.
I mean, I think they were supposed to be able to pass through the country. They didn't have something, or something they have for food. They saw it. I think they were going to have something, whatever what would be. But they.
The leftovers, the things that were left over in the fields. They could
take. Yeah.
Gleanings, that's right. Handfuls of purpose, as it says in the Ruth. So, the friend is right. And then the last part that God's against is what?
Fear not me.
Those that fear not me. What does that mean?
Does that have to do with a stranger?
No, anybody that fears that. Anybody.
Don't have any respect.
No respect for the Lord. Don't fear that he's really God and just to wipe him out. So these are things that the Lord of hosts. I'm going to stop right here at this verse number 5. Yeah, Dick.
I wonder if we have an example of this in the early New Testament church where they were had all things in common and it came to a point where the Grecian widows of the Grecian widows were complaining because they weren't getting their fair share. Now, wouldn't they be called strangers because the Grecians were, they were Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They were Jews that did not live in Jerusalem or Palestine.
Yes.
No, they're drunkards. So nobody was sort of strangers, maybe.
Maybe so. That could be an illustration. Yes.
It was the Grecians that were complaining.
Yes, that's right. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 6, isn't it?
Yeah.
Other comments or questions before we close? Yeah, Vaughn.
When we visited Shakespeare's house in Cleopas, we were told that when they had company, people would drop by all the time. You know, they would have company of people by.
Mm-hmm.
So you would give the company the worst bed.
Hard. So they leave early, yes.
That's
right.
The first night, you would give them up nice food there, and then you would never make any more food.
That's it. Leftover food.
Stay out. They didn't have a refrigerator.
Yeah.
That's some of the strangers who would stay.
Strangers would stay too long, yeah. A hard bed and a little food. How to get them a hot driver up.
First night's
All right, another comment or question before we close. Oh, it's close out with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that we can talk about the book of Malachi. We thank thee that Lord Jesus did come the first time. One day he's coming back. Second phase was coming. First the rapture of the church, but then afterwards the tribulation is going to come to judge and refine and burn as a refiner's fire. We ask thee, Lord, that we may prepare our friends and our loved ones who are lost and unsaved, that they may come to Christ to be saved and redeemed against that day, lest they be turned away into the lake of fire. Thank thee for thy grace. Bless the services that come on the Lord's Day. Continue to help Julie as she travels. Bring us back safely on Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.